Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
It's good to be here today. I want to thank each of you all for coming this morning. I believe it's in God's heart that we're present here today. I think there should be more here this morning. But there's not. But regardless, whether there's many or few, God will minister life to each and every one of us as we gather here in His name. So, Father, we do thank You again for this day. We thank You for the life blood of Jesus Christ. That precious blood, Lord, that drew us to Your kingdom, that washed us of our sins, Lord, that cleansed us, Lord, from all darkness, to give us and to translate us into the kingdom of Your dear Son. We are so thankful for that today, Lord. And so, Lord, we ask that You feed us this morning, Lord. We open our hearts and our minds to Your Spirit, Lord, that You might flow through us today, Lord. Flow through me, Lord. May that which I speak glorify You, Lord. So, Father, I just divest myself of my humanity that Your divinity might flow this day, Lord. And, Lord, we want to give You all the praise and the glory today, for You are worthy to be praised. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm, again, so thankful to be here. And this morning I'd like to share with you something that you're all very familiar with, but nevertheless, I know it's good for me to hear it, and I trust it will be good for you to hear it. I'd like to talk with you this morning about the parable of the Great Supper. If we could turn to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. And before we go into that parable, I would like for us to go up to into 7, because I think that this speaks the same similarity as the Great Supper, because it's the same invitation. In verse 7 it says, and He put forth a parable to those which were bidden. Now that word bidden means call or to invite. All right? So calling. You know, do you remember when Jesus he called the disciples? He says, come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And so He says, when you are bidden, or you can say if you are invited of any man to a wedding, huh? Does that sound familiar? A wedding? A wedding feast? Marriage of the Lamb? It says, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee, or he that invited thee, and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when you are bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee or invited thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be ashamed, shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I just want to draw just the tabernacle here. You can liken this invitation to your born-again experience that God calls you. It says that no man comes to the Father except for what? First, He draws him. So there's a calling, you know. We did not choose Christ first, but He first chose us. And so this invitation is into the kingdom of God, which would be our born-again experience. But it's very interesting when we look at this particular part of this parable, that when you are invited to a feast, you don't come and take a higher place or a place where you with shame when the man that invited you saying, no, 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 that's not your place to take. Amen? And you know, there is a progression we have in God that being born again is just the beginning of our salvation. But, you know, God has a plan to change us and to perfect us, which we see, of course, the seven pieces of furniture. Seven is the number of completion or perfection. Amen? Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, let me draw this. One, two. Okay, praise the Lord. You know what came to me this morning when we were in the elders' meeting is, you know, we're really preaching to the choir this morning. Do you know what that means? I think you know what that, you don't know what it means, Brother Guido? Well, speaking of the choir is, you know, the choir is the first people at the church. They're always there. And so when you're preaching the Word of God, you know, it's like God has this Word for many, and yet, you know, it seems like you're preaching to the ones that are always there, probably what would be considered the most faithful in a congregation, right? Huh? Everybody looking funny at me? And, you know, it's really sad, and we should really pray. This place should be full. You know, I was thinking this morning, Brother Coyote, you know, praise God for the life here in Luton. And though there may not be many, but there should be many.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. All we had to do was walk through the mall in Luton yesterday. I mean, it was an eye-opener for my granddaughter, for her to see what is the atmosphere in the Luton area, the mixture of all humanity. You know, hallelujah. Great, small, every religion of the world, especially predominantly the Muslim overshadowing here in Luton.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And yet, there's a light.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. There's a light. And so, even in this, we have to press on. But we should be praying.
Yes.
Huh? Because it's God's heart that many should come into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Huh?
Yes. That's right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, there was a thought when I was reading this particular one. This particular parable. And it likens it really unto the brazen laver. You know, because if we are called, we don't come into God's kingdom with our own identity or our own personality or our own old man. But in order for us to grow into God, once we become born again, we must be born again also of water and spirit in order to enter into the kingdom of God. And that place of the brazen laver is representative of death and resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? So the man that comes into a wedding feast and takes a higher place, God says, it's not for you. It says here, go to the lowest room.
Mm-hmm.
The lowest. You know, not the highest, not the medium, but the lowest. And the only way that you can get to the lowest is through crucifixion. Death to the old man. Hallelujah. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
You know, dying this old man to come where God says. Now, it's interesting because in this parable, he says, friend. Huh? He says, friend, if you go to your lowest room, he calls you friends and he says, come up higher.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so, out of death, or when we our association or our act of water baptism, which was, to many of us here, at one time was an outward act that we declared to the world and to the devil that we were dead to sin and now alive unto God, right? Amen?
Yes.
And in that place, an act is a place where God begins to rise us up in resurrection life. Or we come into a higher place for existence.
Amen.
Can we say amen to that this morning?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's go on here. Because really, when you look at this, this really goes in a line with the Great Supper. And I want to go down to 15. And it says here, and one of them that sat at meat with him, with Jesus, heard these things, and he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Amen? Can we say that again? It says, and blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now, when he spoke this, can you imagine that they were sitting there and this man just all of a sudden yells out, blessed is he who eats bread in the kingdom of God. Yeah. And it provokes, or it compels Jesus to come in and say this next thing, which is the parable of the great supper. Mm-hmm. For in verse 16, he says, then said he, Jesus, unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade, or I want to put invited many. Mm-hmm. Amen? And so he sent his servant at supper time. Now supper time, when is that? It's the evening time. It's the chief meal of the day. Hallelujah. So at supper time, he sent his servant to say to them that were invited, come, for all things are now ready. Now, not future, but now. They're ready now.
Yeah.
Come on, think of it.
Yeah.
Ready now, Tomas. Ready right now, this morning. It's ready. Huh? All things are ready by the Lord. Hallelujah. But 18 says, and they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. Hallelujah.
Conspiracy.
They wanted, you know, it's interesting, when you look up that word excuse, it's not only where you're saying, I cannot come, but it also speaks that it's rejected. You reject something. Hallelujah. Something is a lot more important than that which you were being given to. So it says here, the first one said to him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Now, it's interesting when we look at these things, we can see it on different levels. You know, you can have a piece of land, you could be talking about the natural land or your natural environment that you're so busy that you just don't have time to really do the thing that you're invited to do. Hallelujah. Mm. But in the spiritual realm, what would you say your ground represents? Your soul. Your place of existence. You know, your body is earth. And so your body is just a part of you, but you also have a soul and a spirit. And that soul is the determination of where you're placing your importance.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Huh? You know, it comes down to the will, you know.
Yes.
Will to decide to do or not to do. Because God made man a free will agent. Now, I want us to look at this today as we're talking about this parable, because it's talking about a great supper, a feasting time. And when we look into the tabernacle, we see that there is a place where we become born again at the brazen altar. We come into that place of the brazen laver where we receive baptisms, or baptism, but three baptisms out of that, in which we not only dedicate ourselves or consecrate ourselves to God to die that he might live within us, but that we might also be filled of his spirit. And as we are filled with his spirit, as we walk into obedience to that spirit, the Holy Spirit, God baptizes us into his body. But it is in this place, when we come into the holy place, that we really begin to feed upon the Word of God, which is representative of the table of showbread. Amen? And you can liken that onto the Great Supper. Hallelujah. You know, there's different feedings, right? When I look at you, Brother Coyote, am I looking upon a man who had one meal when he was a year old, and you're still living off that? Huh?
No.
No. I mean, we eat three, well, we shouldn't always eat three meals a day. But we do, or and on an average, but our body needs that strength from day to day. Amen?
Amen.
But do you know that, that as sons of God, we need to feed upon Christ daily? Hallelujah.
Yes.
And we need to feed upon the right things.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's many things out there to feed upon. Oh yeah, there's many words out there. And you know, I find out that people that eat at many words and many tables, they're in a place of not making the right decisions. They're in a place of really not knowing Christ. Because they really don't know where they are, because they're thinking, this is good over here, this is good over there. And yet they have no root in themselves to be able to be strong for the Word of God. So we see here first that this man, he wanted to be excused. He was too busy because he was more concerned with what was going on inside of him than that which he was being invited to. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 19 says, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Huh? 5 yoke of oxen. What's 5 representative of?
Ministry
and grace. And oxen are, I was thinking of the scripture verse that Paul says. He says, don't muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. Now, ministry is important. Hallelujah. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
I mean, it's ordained of God. As we look into the tabernacle, we see the bars in the tabernacle represent the fivefold ministry. But many people put their, or I should say many, let me just say, certain individuals put their ministry above the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes more important than that which God has called them to. You know, because even to us who are ministers of the Word of God, we ourselves are having to learn ourselves about the Word of God. I don't know, I can think of anybody that can stand up and say, I've already gone in past the veil. I've already reached perfection. Huh? I heard a man say that once in Colorado. Oh yeah. You remember that meeting? The man that got up and he had already gone beyond the veil. And he believed it. He was totally deceived. And he got up. And he was wondering why he was being kicked out of everywhere, but we were probably the only fellowship that ever allowed him to at least speak his mind, and he spoke it. And he just felt sorry for all of us, because he had already gone over, and everybody else still needed to go over. Well, the man was in deception. We tried to talk with him afterwards, but I don't know where he's at today, but we weren't able to reach him. But you know, there's ministries out there that think that they are the ministry.
Yeah.
And to tell you the truth, a lot of them prove out that they're really the false ministry. And that's a whole other story in itself. One, the error that people do when they put themselves in a higher place than what God has called them to be. Now, it's interesting because when we look in Romans, it says, how lovely are the feet of them that bring the good tidings of Christ, right? Mm-hmm. And they say, and how can they hear without a preacher?
Mm-hmm.
And the important thing that, oh yeah, I'm a preacher of God. But it says, and how can they preach unless they are sent? That's the key. Huh? Well, there's many people out there that feel they have the Word of God. There's many people out there that feel that they are prophet, or they feel that they are apostle, or teacher, or shepherd, or evangelist. But it's another thing to be sent of God. Hallelujah. So it's a challenge. It's a challenge for those that are called to make sure that what we are being led of is being led of the Spirit of God. Amen? But do you know there's another challenge? There's a challenge for the church to discern between false and true ministry. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that's a problem where the church is today. They can't even discern. Huh? They can't discern between that whom God has sent and that who the devil has sent. Hallelujah. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Pretty strong to have to say that there are certain ministries that are being sent of the devil. Am I going beyond myself saying that?
No, it's true.
Isn't there something about Paul wrote in Corinthians about, where is that? It's 2 Corinthians. It talks about the
angel of light.
The angel of light. And he talks about those that are false
messengers.
Hallelujah. It's important for the church to know the Word of God. It's important for the church of God to discern. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well,
I don't know if...
The one church in the seven churches,
yes.
I forget which one, the Lord said, you have tried those that say they are apostles.
And they were
they
not.
Are not.
Yes. He commended them. That was one of the good qualities of that church, because they proved out that those that were... that had come to them were false apostles. They rejected them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, when we look here, people that go out, they themselves, listen to me, you see someone who says, I'm too busy, God, for this supper. I'm too busy with my ministry. I'm too busy with my ministry. So, if they're too busy with their ministry rather than obeying God, what spirit are they moving in? What spirit is motivating them? Huh? Hallelujah. It's interesting, brother. He calls this a great supper. Not just a supper, just not an average supper, but a great supper. Hallelujah. Let's go on. And it says here in verse 20, and another said, I've married a wife. Therefore, I cannot come. And there again, you can take it on the natural level, that your wife becomes more important than God. But you can take it on the spiritual level. What would a wife represent? A woman, right? A church. Or you could say, Lord, I'm busy. Please, have me excused. I'm too busy playing church. I'm too busy being involved with the church than being involved with your presence.
That's right.
Hallelujah. 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 Look, what was the response to God? But in verse 21, it says, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and in the lanes of the city, bring in hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. Hallelujah. God is wanting his house to be filled. Amen. Hallelujah. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges, compel them.
Amen.
Compel them. Now, that word compel, I don't think that is a passive word, is it?
No.
Compel means to constrain by necessitate, to drive in, to do whatever is necessary. God wants his house full.
Amen.
Amen. He says, compel them to come in that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden, or we can say none of those men, and when it says men, ladies, that includes mankind, men, women, those that were invited,
yes,
shall taste of my supper.
Mm-hmm.
When is that supper? Is it when we die? That we go to heaven, that we partake of the supper of God? Oh, Zoe's shaking her head, no. It's now. It's right here this morning. It's whenever we gather, where it says where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's there in the midst.
Yeah.
But I mean, how many of you ever have to repent that you've taken meetings lightly?
Mm.
Jesus.
Anybody here ever taken meetings lightly?
Yeah.
Tired, or you're letting your humanity rule over the presence of God? Have you ever been to where you've been in a meeting, you're taking it lightly, and God begins to speak to your heart and says, wake up!
Amen.
Wake up! My presence is here! Hallelujah. Is God here this morning?
Yes.
Yes, He is. He's here this morning. Are we here to watch a soccer game? No. No. Are we here to discuss politics?
No.
No, we're here in the presence of God. So if we are here, His Spirit is here.
Oh, yes.
His presence is here.
Exactly.
And it wants to touch each and every one of us.
Amen.
I want to share something else with you. I remember something that a dear sister had said many, many years ago. She said, never blame a meeting. Never blame a meeting that you've lost out. It isn't the meeting when you lose out. It's your condition.
Mm-hmm.
That you can be in the lowest meeting, but if you are before
That's
the
right.
presence of God,
right.
you can draw heaven down.
Right.
You can't say, well, it was
That's
because
right.
the preacher didn't do this or it was low. You can draw heaven down.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Draw heaven down and get what you need.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Huh?
Amen. You can draw heaven down. Get what you need.
That's right.
I'm thinking of the story of who was it that Hannah? Remember Hannah coming to the house of God?
Mm-hmm.
And the you could say the minister of the Lord, who was he?
Eli.
He looked at the woman, thought she was drunk. And she's there. God, the heavens open up and she's touching up. God, I need you. I need you to do something.
Amen.
I am vexed to my soul that I need a son. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
God answered her prayer.
Amen.
It wasn't conditional on what was happening in the temple that day because Eli wasn't in the same place that Hannah was.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Let's turn over to Matthew 22. Hallelujah. Matthew 22. And here we see the same parable in a little different wording. 22 verse 1. And here he is. He's saying, Jesus speaking again about parables. Verse 1 and 22. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables. Why did he speak parables? Well, he told the disciples, I speak them because it's not given unto everybody to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but it is given unto you so that you might understand.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You know, I remember before I was born again, you know, I knew that the Bible was the Bible. But then, I really didn't know that the Bible was the Bible. And what I'm saying about that is, to me, it was no life to me until I became born again. But once I was born again, then it became the living Word of God to me. The words jumped off of pages. It was like no other book. I thought, well, it was an important book until I was born again. It was the only important book. It was the Word of God. And it did something that changed my life, my wife's life, as we began to read. And then I realized it was only because God first enlightened my soul by being born again,
yes.
that then I had eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying through the Word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So in verse 22, or chapter 22, verse 1, and Jesus answered and spoke unto them again by parables and said, verse 2, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. Now, this one, if you go into your Bible, you'll see that the parable we read in Luke was called the Great Supper. And in this one, your Bible will probably be titled a lot, The Marriage Feast. All right? But this verse, the second verse is saying what? First, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king which made a marriage for his son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so he sent forth his servants to call them. Hallelujah. his servants to call them. Well, you know, God has many types of forms of servants, but you know who the chief servant is? Is the Holy Spirit. Huh? We look at the story of Eliezer, who was the servant, that the chief steward in Abraham's house. And his whole, when he was sent by Abraham to seek out a bride for Isaac. Amen? So, Abraham sent his servant. Hallelujah. Abraham's a type of God who was seeking a bride for his son. Hallelujah. And we know that in Eliezer, the story of that is he is the type of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Huh? Goes back, no man comes to the Father except for first he draws him. The Holy Spirit drawing people. Huh? Bringing us to the marriage feast. Hallelujah. So it says here, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them or invite or to call them that were bidden, or you could put invite, those they that were invited to the wedding. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. But what happened? Mm-hmm. And they would not come. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. You know, again, you can put that word on several levels, you understand. You can put it on those that reject the word of God. But you can also put it on those that are born again and reject the word that God is bringing in this hour. Do you ever have a fear that you could reject the word of God? Or let me put it this way. Can we be in jeopardy of rejecting the word of God?
Yes.
We can.
Yes.
We can. We have to watch our soul, don't we?
Yes.
Watch our soul that our soul does not become the predominant thing in our life. Hallelujah. That we could lose out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
As we're talking about this one here, where it's talking about the marriage feast and those that were invited and would not come, there's something the Lord gave me many, many years ago. It probably had to have been in the late 1980s. I was working at the post office and I had this particular dream. And before I share the dream, I want to just give you a little prerequisite, okay? I think some of you younger people need to sort of understand what life was in the 80s. How many of you young people were born in the 80s? Okay, I don't see any of you, right? Okay. Well, it was before the age of cell phones,
yeah.
Smartphones, before the age of emails.
And internet.
Hallelujah. And so in the post office, back in the 80s and 70s, the post office was a pretty important place because that's where a lot of information traveled. In fact, you had two ways. You went, and you know what? That was before FedEx. I think UPS was just started in the 70s when I started at the post office. But back in those days, you either did mail or you had the telephone. And you had no portable telephone. It was affixed to your house. And when you would call, most of your calls were local because if you called long distance, it was very expensive. I think in those days it was somewhere between 20, 25 cents a minute. Now, you wouldn't think 25 cents a minute, which would, okay, let's equate it, probably about 40 pence. I don't know what it would be in euro, probably pretty close to the dollar right now. They're all coming equal. Say less than a half of a euro or a fourth of a euro per minute. But you also got to remember back in the 80s that your pay was only one-tenth of what it is today. So it was expensive to call long distance. If you called, if you talked for 20 minutes, boy, you were sort of looking at your phone bill going, I'm going to have to pay a lot at the end of the month. So anyway, the main communication lot was through the post office. In fact, in the post office, you had your mail deliveries to people every day, But then you had your post office box section, and you probably have a lot of it today in a lot of your small towns. Small towns usually had a lot of your own post office boxes where you would go and pick up your mail. And in Dubuque, we had, I think it was like about 1,700 boxes, and mainly it was people that mail was their priority. It was all the businesses in town usually had a P.O. box because they wouldn't wait for the carrier to get at 4 o'clock. They wanted their important mail by 8 o'clock in the morning. In fact, it was a priority for us as postal workers. Before all the other mail would go out, we needed to take care of the post office box section because it was all supposed to be in by 8:30 in the morning. Hallelujah. So this particular night I had this dream, and in this dream I was standing in the lobby of the post office in Dubuque, and the Dubuque post office was built in the 30s, very ornate lobby, you know, it was just lined with, the carpentry work and the wood that were on the ceilings and the walls, it was phenomenal, and even the way that they built the P.O. boxes. And, you know, I have to tell you one other thing as I'm going into this, when people would get their mail in the morning, they would sort out between the important mail and the not-so-important mail. Now, in the States, we would call the not-so-important mail, we would call it junk mail. Mm-hmm. You know, advertisements. You get that, right? Mm-hmm. You know, they want to do this, and you look at it, and you go, you know, I'm not interested, not interested. And, you know, I would see people. They would, you know, as they're going through the mail, they're walking out, and there's the garbage can. That garbage can would get filled awfully fast. You know, with people throwing all the junk mail in or things that they felt weren't important. Hallelujah. So, this particular night I had this dream, and I was standing in the lobby of the post office, and I was seeing people coming and throwing their mail into the garbage can. And when I looked at it, I knew something wasn't right, and I walked over to the garbage can, and I began to pull out the mail. And do you know what it was? It was wedding invitations. They were throwing the wedding invitations into the garbage can. And as I started pulling it out, I was shocked. Now, again, today, they still mail out wedding invitations, or some people do. I notice now that a lot of people send it by email. You know, they take a picture of a nice card, picture, oh, here's the wedding invitation. But in our day, they would take, you would get the finest envelope. You know, I mean, it was exquisite. Wedding invitations were something that were ornately done, beautifully done. They would put inside there the RSVP, you know, respond that you're coming back. And usually the people that were going to have the wedding, they would write them out in a very nice way. I mean, it wasn't done messily. Yeah. And they would go to great extent lengths, even to the type of mail stamp they would put on it. I mean, by the time they were done, it was quite a work of art. And so in this dream that I had, I'm pulling it out, and I'm seeing these beautiful invitations. And they were being thrown away. But you know what else what I was seeing? As I was pulling it out, the wedding invitation turned into exquisite wedding food. Mm. And I'm sitting there, and the invitations went from just not only being invited, but the actual food itself. But they had thrown it away. They had thrown this wonderful, excellent food away. And I was just so distressed seeing not just several, but many. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it says here, he sent forth his servants to call them that were invited to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants saying, tell them, my God, tell them which are bidden, which are invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. Hallelujah. Do you know what the privilege we have, brethren, in being able to partake of the Word of God for the people of God in this hour?
Jesus.
It's not for the, it isn't the Word that was given to Martin Luther back in, what was it, 1500 of salvation? Oh, there's many in the church that have received Christ as their Savior, but not many have received Him as Lord and making Him King in this life.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And the whole purpose of the marriage feast, and you go and You talk to people out there, and many people have so many false doctrines, and it stops the flow of God. Oh, I'm born again. I can't wait till I die and get up to the great marriage feast in heaven. You fool! Don't you realize that right now is the marriage feast? Right now, as we're feeding off of Christ, something is happening.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The happening is as we feed upon the words of life, we become that life itself.
Amen.
We become the very essence of which God has called us to. Hallelujah. But yet, none of us would think, no, I wouldn't be high, that would be. But yes, we can be in danger of missing out on the very thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when I was a young Christian and we became born again, and I don't know why, you know, I was talking to this brother down in Texas, and his name is Brother Steve, and he says, you know how privileged we were to have gotten the Word of God when we got it, and what it was? And I remember when I became born again, and then God, not only that He came and brought us life, but He began to give us what you would call true ministry that would come. The apostolic word. Somehow I got into my hands within 3 months after I was saved the book, The Pattern. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, we met Christians. And they were wonderful Christians. They were true Christians. Now I can say that because I used to be Catholic. And I grew up in a Catholic church. And Catholicism does not preach salvation by faith. Hallelujah. It's a dead work. So when alive comes, even that salvation is a great work.
Oh, yeah.
And I would meet people that had that experience, and it was a true experience, but other things were taking them. Now, I didn't know it all at that time, but I some people were very involved in what was called the faith movement. The prolific ministries of those days in the year 1980 was the Kenneth Copeland Ministries, the Kenneth Hagin, Charles Capp, all these books, you know. Now, they take a little bit of truth, but they go off into error. Huh? Because prosperity means, well, what is it? God wants to give you everything. Well, yes, He does, but it's not of the natural things. It's of the spiritual things. Hallelujah. What good does it do if we have the earthly goods? We would be just like that man that says, oh, everything's filled now. He goes, well, what shall I do? Well, the only thing I can do is I want more. I'll tear down these barns, build up bigger barns. And what did God say to him that night? He said, thou fool, dost thou not know that thy life, it is, what does it say? Dost thou not know that thy life is required of thee? Hallelujah. How many of us know that we're going to be here tomorrow? None of us do. None of us have that guarantee. None of us have that guarantee. How much do we need to draw upon God? Isn't there a scripture verse that says in the New Testament, don't say, well, next year I'm going to go to the city, I'm going to do such and such. You don't know if you got that time.
That's right.
The time that we have is now, and what we're doing with it, and the need to obey the Spirit of God. This is the great supper. This is the marriage feast. Hallelujah. Don't look like the seats are all filled. You know, I feel sorry for the people that made excuse not coming here. Hallelujah. Now, I don't try to look too far. I don't want to be in a place of judging another man, but God knows the heart of man. God knows if the excuse that they said why they could not come was a proper excuse, or they were just too busy, like those that were called to the wedding feast. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I find out I have to work very hard just to watch over my own soul.
Amen. Huh?
Hallelujah. So this wedding feast, they would not come.
Yes.
They took it lightly. So it says here, let's see, over here, he says, but they made light of it, and they went their ways. Not God's ways, they went their own ways.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. What does the word say? Wide is the road that leadeth to destruction, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. My God, help us. Help us as a people to be called among the few that will find that narrow way.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 They made light of it. One went and went their ways. One to his farm, another to his merchandise. Oh my goodness. Merchandise. What does that say? Many decisions. Many are in the valley of decisions. Hallelujah. And you know, when you stay in your humanity, you're going to make the wrong decision.
Oh, yeah.
When you begin to put everything as important or more important than Christ, you're going to make the wrong decision.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Verse 6 says, and the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burnt up their city. Hallelujah. This world has no compatibility with the kingdom of God. Look what they did to Jesus. Huh? God sent his son, his only begotten son, into the world, and they rejected him. Huh? They persecuted him. They crucified him. And Jesus says, you know, they're going to persecute you. We have to determine that we will be persecuted for the name of Christ.
Mm.
Hallelujah. You know, there's another thought I just wanted to share with you. I've probably shared this before, but I do believe there's something that is very special that God can give us. When we were first saved, and God sent the apostolic word to Dubuque, we just invited everybody. You know, it was 1982, summer of 1982. It was probably a year and a half. No, it was 2 years after I was born again. And it was actually Brother Bird. It was just after Rockford. That Brother Duciel came to Dubuque. And so we invited everybody. When I say everybody, we invited all of the cross-section of Christianity in Dubuque, Iowa. Mm-hmm. Now, let me just share to those that don't know. Dubuque, Iowa is a city of 70,000 people. Out of 70,000 people, it said back in the 80s there that it was 84% Catholic. And probably the rest was a very small smattering of Christianity. In fact, you would go into Dubuque, Iowa, the city of 70,000. I don't know how many Catholic churches there were. Big churches. I mean, you know, they would fill 500 seats. They would have in those days 5 masses on Sunday, and they would fill them all. Just multiply that by 10 or 12 churches. Then they had all the other smaller churches. All the Catholic churches were the largest churches, biggest steeples and everything. But then they had all the smaller ones. You had like First Presbyterian. You had Second Presbyterian. You had Third Presbyterian. You had the Methodist Church. You had the Assembly of God Church. You have Baptist Church, First Baptist Church. Great Baptist Church.
You had Southern Baptist, Northern Baptist, Mid Baptist, and Fairway Baptist.
Well, the Catholics didn't let all those Baptists in the pew. But we had certain ones, you know, that were Grace Baptists. Oh, Grace Baptists. They were the Baptists of Baptists. They would say, we're anti-tongues, we're anti-Holy Spirit. Come on in, we're going to have a good time. They would advertise that over. So now, anyway, remember, when we first got saved, we met people in independent churches. We met people from the Assembly of God. And they were people. Now, if you go to every church like that, you're going to find, just like the Catholic Church, you have in the Catholic Church, you have people that are there because they were born in it, and if you saw them come through their doors once a year, you were lucky, okay? But then you had people that were coming every week to the Catholic Church because it was their requirement. You're required to come to Sunday Mass at least once a week, and a lot of people did. But then you would have your zealots. You know, there's zealots in the Catholic Church. You know, they would kill you just like they did in the Inquisition. I mean, they would Catholic Church is this and no more. Hallelujah. But when you got into even these smaller Christian churches, there were people that really wanted God to the degree that they would go. But so out of this whole community of Catholicism, you had a small smithering of Christians. And they came from all different denominations. And so we knew them. We had met them at certain functions or certain things. If they had a ministry that would come in, you would see them all go to that same ministry. And then they would go, oh, come over here. And it was like sheep having no shepherd. So we invited them. Brother Dusiel was coming. We were going to have our meetings in the Labor Temple out on Garfield Avenue. And so we invited. We invited the Pentecostal. We invited the Lutherans. We invited them all. And, you know, I was so young in that day, I was excited. Wait till all these people hear the Word of God. Yeah. I invited my family. I invited my brothers and sisters. Now, my brothers didn't come, but my sister did. And Brother DeCiel got up and he began to teach. First, he began to teach about the tabernacle and the 7 days of creation. And the first night, there were three individuals. There were two elderly women and a man. They were both in their 60s. I thought they were old. Maybe they were 70. I thought they were old because I was 27.
It's not elderly anymore.
No, it's not elderly. But anyway, do you know, after the Word of God, I was sitting in the back, and they got up, and I saw this one. She's going out on her, and she had been a Pentecostal for 50 years. She says, "We didn't see anything special tonight. Where were the miracles? Huh? We don't see no miracles tonight." I'm thinking, my God, what's wrong with them? Did they hear the Word of God? Hallelujah. The next day we had two more meetings. Hallelujah. And I'm waiting. I'm thinking, oh God, these people are going to receive it. I couldn't wait. My younger sister was there. I couldn't wait for her to hear it. And I'm sitting there and the Word's going out and the Word is so live. And I'm seeing people distracted, doing things. I'm going, what is? I almost wanted to go up to him and shake him and go, wait, listen. Can't you hear? Hallelujah. You know, after the dust all settled and all that weekend, there wasn't anybody more in our fellowship after those meetings than it was before. They all left. They didn't hear. Something was blocking them. Something was coming to rob them of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, help us.
Hallelujah.
I've shared this before, and I don't mind sharing it again because it comes to me. But I had a dream one time that Brother DeCiel was here, and he had a bag, a paper bag. And in that paper bag, he had golden earrings. And he would come. And he would go up to someone and he put that golden earring right on their right ear. And they would hear. And I got one and I started to hear. So I was hearing. And then I saw something that was so sad because one of the people that got the golden earring was sitting next to another person and they took it off. I'm not hearing anything. They put it back in the brown paper bag. Oh no. As much as it was a blessing to hear, to see someone dirtying that away was it was almost too much to bear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That person was given the opportunity to hear and they rejected it. Hallelujah. Gold is symbolic of the nature of God. Come on, brethren. Why does God send us forth His Word, but to change us. Huh? To change us. To do something that will change us from humanity to divinity. And not only just humanity to divinity. In this hour, this supper time hour, this time of the great feast, the Word of God. And that's why it's important for us to be in a position crying out like Hannah, I need to have a son. I need to be a son of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And it's important. It's important for those that minister the Word of God to touch heaven, that heaven can flow. Hallelujah. And it's important for the church to function because, you know, whether you are called as a mother, whether you're called as a mother of the church, whether you're called as a servant of God, whether you are called to minister the Word of God, the whole thing is to bring us to one place. It's to become the sons of God.
Amen.
To become part of the body of Christ.
Amen.
And I'm telling you something. Everyone here in this room, the vast majority of born-again believers do not understand or comprehend the true meaning of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. They can believe, oh, we're the church. We're the body. No, no. You can be part of the church, but you may not necessarily be part of the body of Christ.
Yes.
The church is every blood-washed one
is God's possession.
Yes.
Because of the blood.
Man.
But to be part of His body, you have to submit to the Holy Spirit. It says, by one Spirit are we baptized into one body. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And that means that we must obey the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So, look at it this way. Let us not take lightly what we are doing day to day. Do not let your humanity push out the divinity that is standing at the door knocking at your heart. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens up that door, I and the Father will come into him and what? Sup with him. Fellowship with him. Feed, be feeding us and we be feeding upon him. My God, the nature, hallelujah, the nature of Christ getting into us. Hallelujah. Verse 8. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden, or they which were invited, were not ready. Worthy, not worthy to be counted to be part of that wedding. Hallelujah. So, he says, go ye there into the highways, and as many as you find, bid them to come. Call them to come. Invite them in. Hallelujah. You know, part of evangelism is a vital arm of the church. Huh? And we should, not all of us are called as evangelists, but we all should evangelize.
Yes.
Because the Bible says we should be ready to give an answer to every man of the hope that lies within us. I was telling Brother Bert my two experiences recently on the plane. You know, in spite of my own personal preference, God stopped me. Oh, I want a different seat. There's someone sitting next beside me. Well, I tried the first seat. First time I was flying down to visit our children in Texas. And I got on this plane and I went up two different times to try to get my seat changed. Oh, I wanted a little extra room, wanted to sleep. No, can't change my seat. Well, guess what? God had other plans. The plan I had, there was a man from Indianapolis that was there who was a man that had some sort of experience, I don't know what, but we began to talk, and we started talking when we were on the tarmac of Atlanta, and we didn't stop until we arrived on the tarmac of Austin, Texas. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, and then I always feel like, oh God, forgive me. Forgive me because I'm not cognizant as I should be of how your Spirit is working and how you are orchestrating things.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, I had a little better experience. I always like it when I get a little better experience after the first one, because I'm on the I'm looking again. Well, I'm looking for my flight from Atlanta to London. You know, it's an 8.5-hour flight, and I'm looking. Oh, the plane's only half full. Well, I can go. There's three seats. I could lay down, and so anyway, I'm over in one seat, and you're allowed. If you go in Delta, you can change your seats ahead of time. So I'm seeing, and everything's filled, but all the way over in this one, there was an aisle seat and a middle seat that was empty. I go, oh, that looks nice. You know, I can stretch out my legs. I can do this. So I changed it. Well, you know, I didn't even know it, but I was being led of the Lord. Because when I got there, of course, when I got on the thing, I started to eye around, where can I get three seats to lay down? But the man was sitting, I'm sitting here, empty seat, and the man was there. He was a man probably 68 years old. And somehow we just started talking by the time the plane was ready to leave. And it was the most wonderful time of talking with him of the Lord. You know, the man, he said his mother was a Catholic, his father was a Baptist. And he started to tell me about his life, and he married this woman. They were married 42 years, and as we got into it, his wife just passed away 6 weeks earlier. In fact, the flight that she was supposed to be on, now he's on because they wouldn't cancel the ticket. But as we began talking to him, I want to share something with you. You know, the Bible says, Jesus says, he said, follow me and I will make you what? Fishers of men. Do you ever have, if you're in a boat, you know, how do you normally catch fish? You got a fishing pole, you put bait on the end and you throw it out in the sea, right? Huh? Well, sometimes when you're doing the work of God, they just jump in the boat. You don't even throw it out. And this man was like that. He just began to ask. And so we talked a little bit. And you know, you have to be very careful sometimes how you move. You have to follow the Spirit of God. This man encountered Christians before. So I was just sharing with him a little bit. And then he started to tell me all the things he was involved in. I mean, he was involved in a lot of stuff. You know, born with Catholicism. His father was a Baptist. And then he had his own particular brand. You know, well, I follow a little bit of Buddha. I follow this. I follow that, you know. And I'm thinking, oh, God. I thought, this is a helpless case. You know, but I didn't feel to argue or contend with him. And he said that to me later. He goes, you know, I'm glad we're having this conversation that it doesn't turn into a debate. And so we go on, and the flight's going up. And all of a sudden, he turns to me, and he leans over, and he goes, let me ask you a question. He goes, does your wife, does she believe the way you do? I said, oh, yes. I go, we were born again. He goes, well, tell me, how did that come to pass? Oh, no, you want? You got time? I go, you got 10, 15 minutes? I'll tell you my time. Oh, yeah, we got all the time in the world. And I started to share the testimony with him. And lo and behold, I always like to carry Mr. Pegalos with me on my plane. I make sure I carry at least two. You know what? At least one for every leg of the journey. And so anyway, I'm thinking, you know, this man, he's telling me, you know, what he believes. He's not going to change or anything. But, you know, I just thought, well, I'll give him the book. So he got up. I reached out and I handed him the book. You know, he read that book in the time that we were on the plane, and it was an hour within landing. And all of a sudden, he says to me, he goes, will you pray for me? He goes, no, he was telling me in his life, he talks to God. You know, he was telling me how he would have a job. God, do you want me this? God. You know, he was like a Cornelius. He believed in a God, but he didn't know what type of God he really was serving. So he was touched by Mr. Pegalo's book. So all of a sudden he says, well, he goes, I want you, he says, I'd like you to pray for me. He says, for what God has for my life now. You know, the man just lost his wife. I go, well, sure. He reaches out his hand to me.
Amen.
I didn't have to say, you know, you want me to pray for him? No, he wanted me. You know, sometimes they say, well, pray for you. Oh, yeah, I'll pray for you. No, he reached out his hand and he goes, well, right now is a good time. I go, praise God. And just prayed and asked God to touch him, to reveal himself to this man.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, it needs to be sensitive. And you know, sometimes our humanity isn't very sensitive, but God will forgive our shortcomings at times.
Amen.
As long as we don't stay in our humanity. God, I don't know how many times God's had to spank me or correct me, but I hope that I'm learning time after time how to be sensitive to the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So, we're talking about the wedding supper, the great wedding feast, and God's saying, compel them to come in. You don't know who. Hallelujah. We were at the mall yesterday. Can I sit down here, Rudy? We were at the mall yesterday, and you talk about a vast section of humanity. All of a sudden, I see this woman, and I don't know if God just had my eyes focused, but here's this woman, and she's walking. She's an older woman. She must have been walking with her daughter, but she had a withered hand, and she was walking, and I'm thinking, you know, somebody, how they walk in life like that. I don't know how long she must have had it. I think she had it for quite a while. And then another time there's somebody, they're rolling somebody down on a cart and they're half the leg's gone. The halt, the maim. We don't know who it is. God says, compel them to come in. Hallelujah. We really don't know. It's sometimes the very last person who you think will be the ones that will come into the kingdom of God. We just have to say, God, I just help me to hear and to see and to know what you're wanting me to do. Hallelujah. Just even in day-to-day life.
Mm.
Hallelujah. It's the difference between life and death.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So it says, he says, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid or invite them.
Yes.
Huh? Bid them to the marriage. Come.
Mm.
Hallelujah. You could be rejected. Oh, yes. You'll be rejected.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't know. And sometimes we make mistakes. But it's good to make mistakes. You know why? because we learn from our mistakes.
Yes.
Never give up. Pray, pray, pray. Pray for people. Be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So verse 10 says, so those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It said before in the other one, he says, bid them to come in so that my house may be full. How many of you ever read the Sunlight Devotional that comes out on email? If you, some of you do. If you don't, I'd encourage you, go to the Sunlight Devotional website. You can, there's a place where you can subscribe, and it'll come to your email every day. And there was one message that Brother Ducey, excuse me, was saying, and he was liking the parable of the five wise and the five foolish virgins. And he said something, you know, I'd read it, but I never really thought of it as much before. He said, you know, at midnight, when the door is closed, that means that God says, I have everybody I need. It's now shut. I got all the sons I need right now. Door is shut. Hallelujah. Door is shut. Who went in? Who went in?
The five wise.
The five wise. Who were left out?
The five foolish.
Huh? Why were they left out? Because they did not have oil in their vessels, which is a type of the soul. You see, the oil is representative of the Holy Spirit. The vessel is our soul, and as we obey the Holy Spirit, the oil comes into our soul. Comes in. Huh? It's the open door. We're inviting the presence of God in. Obedience. Huh? Submission to the Spirit of God that can change our thinking. Change our emotions. Change our desires and our will.
Hallelujah.
And how many of us need that?
Oh, yes.
It goes on here in this particular one. That's why these two parables, it's good to read them both, because what's in one parable about the great supper is there's other things in the marriage feast. And in this particular one says that when they gathered everybody together and the wedding was furnished with guests, it says, verse 11, and when the king came in to see the guests. Do you think Jesus is looking upon us now? Wouldn't you consider us guests at the wedding? Huh? Called to the marriage supper of the Lamb? Hallelujah. And it says here, when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Hallelujah. And he said unto him, friend. Now, would God call a sinner a friend?
No.
He'd have to be somebody he knew, right? He said, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. We're called to the wedding feast, and we're called to be clothed, right? What wedding garment do you think he's speaking of? Is it a natural wedding garment? Huh? Isn't it spiritual? If we go to Job, was it 29? Okay, it says, and I put on righteousness.
Yeah, verse 14.
Verse 14. Thank you. I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. Huh? How do we get on the wedding garment? Righteousness. Huh? Righteousness. By obeying God. By walking in a place that then our garment is becoming a wedding garment. I put on righteousness and it clothed me. You know, I remember back in the 80s, I felt as a Christian I was getting everything wrong in my life. It seemed darkness was always about me, pressing me, condemnation. You know, but something was driving me more than all that darkness. It was the Spirit of God.
Amen.
You know, if I got up, every time I would get up and speak, nothing ever came together. I was afraid to even speak to anybody. Brother Ikey. I was afraid to speak to anybody. And, you know, year in and year out, God, am I ever going to be changed? Am I ever going to be changed? God, what do you have in my life? You know, and someone said that to me, just put on righteousness. Well, how do you do that? How do you put on righteousness? Huh? Obedience to God. Obedience to God. Breaking through all the darkness. Hallelujah. Breaking through all the darkness, Brother Jojo. Hallelujah. You know, you young people, I just encourage you, just get into God. And you know, when you start to get into God, all the forces of hell is going to come after you. But the promise of the Word of God is, greater is He who is in you than He who is in the world. Oh, yes. If you want God, you're going to get God. Just keep pressing for it. Keep pressing for it. Keep pressing for it. Hallelujah. Not only are we called to the wedding, but we're to have the wedding garment on. Hallelujah. At the end of the day, I don't just want to be in the wedding feast. I want to have the proper garment on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want God to look and be blessed. Hallelujah. There's another scripture verse in Revelation.
Yes.
I believe it's 19.
Mm-hmm.
And it's talking about the marriage of the Lamb and the bride.
God made herself ready.
Yeah, let's go up to verse 7 of 19. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. Hallelujah. We're to make ourselves ready for the coming of the King. And it says in verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be what? Arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. May God help us. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. The fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Hallelujah. Just what it says in Job, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. Hallelujah. And He said unto me, verse 9, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He said unto me, these are the true sayings of God.
Amen.
Blessed are us that are called to the marriage supper. Go back to, please go back with us to Matthew 22. We'll finish up.
What did the reference to Job?
It was 29:14. So this man was speechless. Verse 13 says, then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. As we drew this tabernacle, we see that this is the progression that God is calling us to. Not just to be born again, not just to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, but walking in obedience to Christ, being changed so that we might press in beyond the veil, that we come into the total change as sons of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That marriage supper of the Lamb and the Bride. And blessed are you that have made yourself ready.
Amen.
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 God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah.